You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, and we have a very special guest today. You're going to enjoy listening to him. He has so much to share, and it's in the area that everybody is interested in. Anyways, I want to remind people about, it's time to send in your submissions to me for the magazine. I've already got a ton of them coming in, but you can send it to StarsCast, StarsCast, like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com. I will take excerpts, poetry, press releases, articles. I have a lot of authors that will just do articles. Sometimes they'll send me an excerpt. Just send it to me. I mean, there's very little I really do not use. I mean, I like to promo everybody that I can. And I'll be doing all of this, quite a few days before the new year, because it's probably 3 days before. So I'll be starting it. It won't be too long, 4 or 5 days, I guess. But anyways, I also wanted to tell you about Stars Psychics. That's STRZ, psychics.com. That's the other site that just turned 9 years old. We've got a lot of beautiful people there, all kinds of talent, specials for first-time clients. Your first 3 minutes are free. And the rates are really, really reasonable. I've not raised them in many, many years, and I'm very pleased with who's on the site. And I do privates only. You won't see me on the site, but I'll be happy to do privates. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my guest. Now, this guest is unique. He's written a book called An Angel Told Me So. Well, actually, it's the teachings from his mother. He'll correct me if I'm wrong, but his name is Michael McAdams. Hi, Michael. How are you today?
Hi, Natalie. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for being here. Anyways, okay, so let's start. I have the book in front of me, and the thing that caught my eye was this little text that says, I heard a voice say, if you look in the pillow, you'll find a crown. How beautiful is that? Now, where did that come from? How did start from the very beginning. Start from your beginning. And I know you worked with your mother. I know that. And her name is Wilma Jean Jones. But let's see how all of this began for you and for her as well. Because the story, I mean, the whole thing is not the whole thing, but it's about her. A lot is about her. And, of course, now you're carrying on and going here and there and everywhere and talking and signing books and all of that, because we talked about that. But let's start at the beginning.
Well, I really am just the messenger.
Yes.
The book itself, An Angel Told Me So, is the first of 3 volumes. There's going to be 3 books in the series. And this is a collection of messages and teachings dictated directly from spirit teachers from the other side, dictated word for word through my mother, Wilma Jean. And she received these messages and teachings for 22 years. Now, Wilma Jean had been spoken to all of her life in thought, the way most of us are. And I was brought up Pentecostal, church-based, Bible-based foundation. My uncle was a fiery Pentecostal preacher by the name of John W. Sullivan, and he founded churches in Florida, Kentucky, and in Ohio. My grandmother was called to the ministry when she was 30 years old. And I remember when I was young, my grandmother said that she would receive, and she would receive sermons dictated to her mind that she would preach in church. And she would also receive verses to songs that she would put to music and sing in church. And she would always say that God had spoken to her heart and given her that information. And that's the perspective that people who are church-based, Bible-based, or religious foundation, that's the perspective that they will interpret the reception of this information. Those who are more spiritual than religious, they realize that we do have spirit guides, spirit teachers, master teachers who work with us, guardian angel, if that's your preferred term. And they offer guidance, direction, and support so that we can they can help us along life's way.
Well, you know, I mean, I was raised a Catholic, okay? And I'm going to tell you this quick story about when I was a little girl. You know, I went through all the sacraments, okay, you know, unwillingly. I mean, they dragged me. I mean, it was not that important to me. I don't know why, but it wasn't. I went to church just one day, and because I had, well, I had to go every day to get a ride to a high school, so we had to go to early Mass so we could get a ride. But anyways, I was sitting there one morning, and I looked around, and I thought, you know, they say God is everywhere. Why do I have to be sitting in this building? I actually said that to myself. And then I realized, well, you don't really have to. But, of course, I didn't say anything to my mother because she had to jump through hoops because I was baptized a Greek Catholic, not a Roman Catholic. And so, you know, they really didn't want to give me any of the sacraments like, you know, communion, anything. They just didn't want to do it. But then she had to talk to the father, you know, the head, and he agreed to it. He wasn't happy, though. He didn't want to. So, you know, a lot of people, I think you're right, a lot of people learn or get an understanding from early on, like I did, but I was always alone, but I don't think I was really alone. I mean, my story is really different than most people, but, I mean, did your mother, I want to ask you this, did your mother say, okay, Michael, I'm gonna tell you everything that I'm getting, all the messages I'm getting. I mean, did she start when you were really young? I mean, let's go back a little bit about that.
No. Wilma Jean, my mother, was a lot more religious than I was, daily reader of her Bible. And I believe that church and religion has a social construct, a foundation that is comforting to people, reinforcement. But a lot of the teachings and the sermons that they give, even though they are pertinent and timely to many of the people that hear them, they just don't seem to take people far enough. People, again, will become more spiritual than religious because they think there has to be more. They have that foundation of faith, which allows you to explore and experience a lot more information than they're willing to share in church. So Wilma Jean was hesitant. I had gotten involved in spiritual material probably early 20s. I had spent 2 years in the army in Germany and had come back, and I would be led. And on my website is spiritspeaks.com.
Yes, I'm there right now.
And on the website it says, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear. And that statement was always really pertinent for me as a seeker. It says, for all sincere seekers of truth. And just the wanting to know will draw people to you who will share a book, an event, a speaker, a website, and it will allow you to take that next step. And each exploration of information is a next step. And it's really never ending. There is no death. It's just graduation.
You described exactly what I do, Michael, on the radio. It's true. No, you know, because I've never really had a teacher per se come to me and say, okay, Natalie, well, I have one. He's in the UK, and we work a little bit together. But I get something from every author I talk to. And I do it because I love people, for one thing. But I think I'm getting a lot of knowledge. I mean, I know so much that, but yeah, you just described me to a T. So I guess all of you are my teachers.
Well, it's nice to be needed.
Yes, you're needed, of course.
So Wilma Jean was hesitant. Wilma Jean was a bit hesitant with what I was involved in because it didn't really coincide with the teachings of the church, especially Pentecostal church, which is what I was brought up in. But as she was led, and again, she had received in thought most all of her life. Even when she was young, she said she would be doing dishes in the kitchen, and she would just not be thinking about anything, and these teachings, these messages would come into her mind, and she would just listen. And then when it got done, she would say, that was really good. So when she was led to sit down in these dedicated sessions to start receiving the messages in the book, she had set up a typewriter, an electric typewriter in her kitchen. And she would be led to sit down and receive. She would light a candle, say a prayer, ask for protection because you are opening your mind. And she said that three or four words would just float into her mind and hang there. And they would not go away until she typed them.
Right? Yeah, automatic typing.
What?
She did automatic typing.
No, it wasn't channeling. It wasn't automatic writing or automatic typing. She would see three or four words that would not go away until she typed them.
Oh, she would see.
Once she typed those three or four words, they would just fade away, and three or four more would show up. So she really was taking dictation. And these are long, deep, profound messages, single-space typed, one full page, sometimes two full pages.
Wow. So it was like, you know, something saying to her, no time to cook, you got to be at this typewriter. And so she'd walk over there and she'd do it. She would start to get this and decide that was a signal for her to go to her typewriter? Is that what she would do?
No, actually, she would just be impressed. She would be led that it's time to sit down in a session and receive. So she didn't receive anything until she sat down and relaxed her mind. And she was prepared to receive. And she would normally get, in volume one, she would get a message for her and a message for me in the same session. And it would take 3 to 4 hours to get these two messages. And as the years went on, it's like they started spreading the word. The spirit teacher started spreading the word on the other side that they had found a willing receptacle in Wilma Jean. And higher teachers started moving in, giving even deeper and more profound teachings, longer messages. And it's obvious as you read these messages, you can see the progression to the higher teachers. And many times, even though these were single-space type messages with no paragraphs, I have broken them up into paragraphs because they're just too deep to read without being able to take a break and contemplate the paragraph that you just read.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot in here. But I want to ask you again, what is this little message on the book? If you look in the pillow, you'll find a crown.
That picture on the front cover of the book is a feather crown. And if you do a little research, it was kind of an old wives' tale in Kentucky, Appalachia area, which is where my grandmother had come from, was Kentucky. And it was said that when a child of God, a Christian, passed away, that a crown would form in their pillow. Now, this was a time when nobody had foam rubber pillows. They were all feather pillows.
Yeah.
And when my grandmother, Mary Culbertson, passed away, my mother was really close to her. She had kept her pillow and had put it in a plastic bag and kept it in a shelf in the top of the closet in her bedroom. And she was working around the kitchen one day, and she said she heard a voice. And it said, if you look in the pillow, you'll find a crown. Now, she looked around. There wasn't anybody there. And I think it may have been one of the few times in her entire life that she felt she was spoken to in a voice. Normally, it was always in thought. But she didn't hesitate. She put down what she was doing, went into the bedroom, took the pillow down out of the closet, took it out of the bag, and took a pair of scissors and cut the end of the pillow open and gently reached her hand inside the pillow. And she found that feather crown that's pictured on the front cover. It's about the size of a 50-cent piece. No weight to it because it's just made out of woven feathers. And it's woven like a crop circle, so tight that you couldn't pull a single feather out of it without starting to pull it apart. And if she hadn't been spoken to that day, she wouldn't have known it was there.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, even when she was a little girl, did she get messages? I mean, really, how young was she when this started for her?
actually, she was older. This wasn't, I mean, she was older when this started. Because of her Pentecostal upbringing, she would pray and talk to God. She felt she had angels around her. But as far as the spiritualness of the information, these teachings, and the dictated messages from spirit teachers, on my website there's a television interview that Wilma Jean gave in Cincinnati. Posted on that interview, on that television interview, is a sneak peek from Volume 2 of An Angel Told Me So, which will be out probably the end of February next year. And this was the only time in a session where Wilma Jean was led to sit down and receive, that two different spirit teachers moved in the same session, gave two different messages, and signed two different names. And it was obvious that the second teacher was a different teacher than the first, because the whole cadence and phrasing of the teaching is different. And throughout the book, many of these messages and teachings are signed with the name of the spirit teacher that's presenting the message.
Yes, 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 yes. This didn't scare her at all. She sounds like she was wonderful. And if you do get the book, and you should get the book, she was a beautiful lady.
Yes, she was. She had worked a cosmetic counter for Elizabeth Arden in Cincinnati at a department store. She was just shopping one day, and one of the ladies with Elizabeth Arden came up to her and said, you know, your makeup and complexion are beautiful. She said, would you like to work here? And
wonderful.
she ended up taking a job, you know, just because she was an artist. She could draw, and she had beautiful handwriting. There was a mess. She was working around the kitchen one day, and not really thinking about anything, and this message started to come into her mind. And she picked up a paper and pen. She had beautiful handwriting. She started to take this message down. As a matter of fact, the message itself is posted on the back cover of the book. And she felt this was confirmation that she should put these messages in a book. May I share this with your audience?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is what she was given, just out of the blue. Emptiness is part of fulfillment. Let your resources fill the void left so that distinction of your purpose can be found. Expression is always self-explanatory. Therefore, look inside and anchor all your beliefs beside those still waters that will take away your troubled view and renew your strength to recapture that which was lost but is now found to be adequate to pursue the course set before you. And as you reconcile your being to represent those qualities that have been left intact, God will see to it that although circumstances have been trying, to say the least, your weariness will disappear as clouds once removed allow the sun to shine to dispel the gloom and darkness that has pervaded your countenance. And as once described before, a token of this presence will be deposited to your account and books recorded in His name. And she felt that was confirmation. That message was confirmation because she had been hesitant. The messages in Volume 1 especially were personal messages to her and myself. She went through a divorce. I've gone through a divorce. But I told her, I said, these are just too deep and profound not to share. And it's like these messages are woven with a universal thread. And everyone who has read these messages have said, well, this sounds like what I'm dealing with. This sounds like they're talking to me. And I tell people, when you get the book, read each message once as it was given for Wilma Jean and given for me. Then read that same message again as if it's being presented for you and see what hits. And it's amazing what hits.
Well, you know, Michael and I were talking before the show. If the book has this beautiful feel, and he said to me, do you get anything from the book? And I got this wonderful, because he was talking about energy, I got this calm energy from it. And It feels really beautiful. And I've talked about how books feel and what they look like is very important to me. I mean, I would never, this one I would buy, but if it doesn't appeal to me, I won't even pick it up. I mean, that's how I am. But was Wilma Jean ever, we seem to be talking about her a lot. I do want to talk about you, but was she ever afraid in the beginning? You know, like, oh gosh, what is all this that I'm getting? I mean, is it real? Am I making it up? Am I daydreaming? Did she ever think like that?
No, she did not, because her foundation of faith was so strong that she would ask for protection. She would say a prayer and ask for protection. And for any of your listeners, we're all capable of receiving from our angels, spirit guides, spirit teachers. We're born with an innate ability to be able to receive. And a lot of times life will just kind of teach that out of us. You know, the church frowns on it. You're not supposed to, you know, discuss anything with psychic spirit teachers. But if you allow yourself that confidence to be able to listen to your own thoughts, and an incoming thought, anything that comes into your mind has a different feel in your mind than a thought that we think. It's a subtle difference. But once you recognize it and make that connection, you can be spoken to with confidence. Now, we all have that pesky little gift of free will. And we have the ability to accept or reject any information, guidance, or direction that comes into our mind. You know, I'd slow down up ahead if I were you. I wouldn't buy that car if I were you. No, I want it. I'm going to buy it anyhow. And then you end up with problems. So anytime that we ignore the advice from the spirit guides and spirit teachers that have our best interests at heart, we do so at our own peril. But we do have the free will to be able to decide on emotion or choice. You know, we're not, you know, it's not demanded that we obey, but they're there. And these spirit teachers, their joy is in our recognition of their existence. They can't do anything except through us on this physical plane.
All right, I want to tell you some things that have been happening to me, and maybe some people will resonate with it. I guess I get hints of things, I mean, like you're talking about. But what I'm clairaudient, I hear. But I don't hear all the time. When I hear, it's like when I almost am awake, and I'll hear a phone ring. But it's not my phone ringing, because I've been awakened with it before, and I've gone to the phone, and it's not my phone, because I have a dial back. I can see what number it was, and it was like my son the day before. I'll get that, and then the most profound thing, Michael, that ever happened to me, the lady that used to co-host with me on my radio show, we would do topics, angels, archangels, you name it, we talked about it. Well, this one day, I woke up to the playing of a harp, strokes, so like one stroke of the harp, one, okay, and I heard it, and I said to her, she was a medium, and I said, you know, I heard this strange thing this morning, and I told her, and I said, what do you think? She says, no, what do you think? I said, well, something is going to happen, a message is coming, something, it's an announcement to me, an announcement of something. And I wasn't really sure. But you know, Michael, it wasn't maybe a few weeks later she passed away. I think it was an announcement about her. We were very close, like sisters. And, you know, she wanted to know right away what I thought. And I said, well, you're the one that does this for a living. I don't do this. I just kind of gather the troops. And she said, no, I want to know what you think. I've never heard the harp again. And I've heard three knocks. You've heard the three knocks of death. I've heard that before. And then the other night, I was in the kitchen. And, you know, it makes you stop. When you hear things and you know, it makes you stop. Well, did I just hear that? I heard some knocks at my door. I went to the door to answer it. Of course, there was nobody there. But, you see, I never really get a confirmation of what these things are to me, except that I do know it's my interpretation. I mean, it's whatever I feel it is.
Right.
I mean, I could say this to somebody. I mean, I have a ton of readers on my site. And they'd say, oh, it was just a dream. No, it's not a dream. These are not dreams. I'm awake. I know. And so what do you get anything on that? I mean, I'm sure they're real, and I'm sure my interpretation of them are real. But, you know, Michael, sometimes you just like to know, I mean, for sure.
Well, the first thing that came into my mind as you were explaining or, you know, telling that story, as far as the harp goes, they were either preparing you or preparing her as you related the story.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that would probably be it. And
that's it.
The question was put out there. You heard the harp. You considered what it meant. She considered what it meant. And
yeah.
In their way, you know, I believe they were probably preparing both of you.
Right. It was a sudden thing.
Right.
I mean, I had talked to her the night before. I mean, we were really close. I mean, she was so gifted. Just really gifted. And it really crushed. I couldn't do the radio for 3 months. I was that crushed.
Wow.
I wasn't pretty. You know, I mean, I knew she was ill, but, you know, I got a call in the morning, and I slid off my couch. I said, what? Say that again. I said, I don't believe you. And she had passed away, like, early that morning, and I had talked to her that night before. So, yeah, I'm sure you were right. I knew that harp. I didn't really like hearing it because I knew. I don't want to hear this.
Right.
I don't want to hear this. You know,
but
what about
prepares
the phone
you.
Rings that I get?
It,
huh?
It prepares you. And
yeah, well,
you handled it.
Yeah, I did. I did what I had to do. And, you know, I thought about not doing the radio. And she would say to me when we were on the air, we would talk and I'd say it like you and I were talking. I'd say, well, you know, this is your area of expertise. No. She says, you know, you can talk about anything. I know this. You can.
Right.
She said, I don't care whether you say you don't know something about it. It comes to you. You figure it out. You ask the right questions, and there you go. And she was right about that. I almost didn't do the show anymore. I didn't have the heart. But I knew inside she'd be beating me on the head and saying, what's wrong with you? You've got something that you're good at. Show your work. Show what you can do. You've got all these people that love you. But it was scary for me because I didn't have her by my side, you know. But I floundered a little bit. I had somebody interview me, and then pretty soon, yeah, it's been several years now, and I haven't stopped. And I know she's happy with it. I know she's happy with it. And sometimes, I mean, I have her picture above me here in my office, and I do know she's with me. I do know that. Her husband had told me, you know, Natalie, she loved you more than anyone, even me. I said, oh, no. He said, yes. She loved you more than anyone. So I just know she's with me, and I have such goosebumps, but I just know. I just know she's holding me, holding my hand. She's just, come on, when you feel crummy, because we all, at this time, and you know, Michael, people are going through an awful lot. That's why it's so good to have you on the show. And maybe they'll start listening to that inner voice or what they think might be, oh, it's my imagination. It's not your imagination. Listen.
No, it's not.
Listen, people, and believe.
And
you
these
know,
messages.
You'll hear what I end the show with, and you're going to love it. But I was so anxious to talk to you. I'm anxious to talk to everybody, and I think that's one of my gifts.
Well, these messages are the most close, personal, comforting teachings that I have ever read, and I've been involved in material like this for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And these spirit teachers in these messages, they repeatedly refer to themselves in first person. As you read these messages, you'll see that they will say, we feel, we believe, we advise, our view encompasses more than your view can comprehend. And on rare occasions, and when it happens, it just really jumps out at you, an I will make himself known. You know, therefore, I believe, I take care of this, it's my responsibility. And it's just so personal in the way these messages and teachings are given. And for anyone who has ever questioned or wanted to know if there really was a spiritual realm outside this physical plane, I mean, for thousands of years, you know, man has asked, you know, well, where's the proof? Give me proof that this spiritual realm exists. Well, not only are these messages and teachings proof of the existence of this spiritual realm, but here are communications in the form of these messages and teachings that have been dictated word for word from the spirit teachers inhabiting this spiritual realm.
Well, I don't get sounds every day. But I sure keep seeking. I sure keep asking. And, you know, like I said at that meeting with all these readers, I really thought, gee, I wish I could do some of the things that they could do. But this was many years ago now. But little did I know, Michael, of what I would be doing now. I'm the one who gathers the angels, you could say, on Earth. I'm the one who brings them to this platform and allows them to show their work. That's my job.
You're a messenger, too?
Yeah, that is my job. Yeah, you know, and I never miss. I used to do readings at home up in Michigan. I started as an astrologer, but, you know, I never miss doing that. My son will say to me, Mom, you're so good. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I feel like what I'm doing right now, talking to you, bringing you in as my guest, I feel that's the most important thing. My gratification from this and my magazine is unreal. It sends me up high. I mean, I'm just floating with it, and it's a nice feeling, and I just want to keep doing it as long as I can. And then I bring somebody on like you, because Dia recommended you, and she said, I want you to do this. People come to me because they're supposed to. You said yes to me because you were supposed to. You know, I mean, you didn't have to. And that's how I took it. Okay, wants to be on my show. Good. I mean, I'm not this big famous person. I am known all over the world, yes, but not, you know, like Oprah or anything like that. But I felt really good when she said, oh, he wants to do it. I said, oh, God.
Well, I will share this. I will share this with you, Natalie. I've done a number of these interviews, and there was an interview where toward the end, the host asked. They said, "How do you see yourself? You know, what do you see yourself being?" And before I even got a chance to answer, because I always say that I'm the messenger, and I'm just sharing. My purpose in the book itself is to weave a narrative as to what was going on between the reception of these messages and teachings, but the teachings themselves are the heart of the book. And before I got a chance to answer, I had an image, not really, I won't call it a vision, but an image came into my mind, and I was like on a path, and it was dark, and I was holding a flashlight, and I was shining the light on the path, and people were going by, and I was just showing them the way, you know, just lighting the path and just trying to point them in the right direction, which is all that you can do as people, depending on what they want to know, and then it's up to them to do what they will with the information. But these teachings, like I said, they'll give you chills when you read some of the lines. One of the messages, I think it's in Volume 1, and they said, "We hear the spirit cries above the words you speak." I mean, that's a heavy line.
It is.
And they know. They know what we think and feel. This message that was given that I have posted on Wilma Jean's television interview, the second teacher's message was really profound. And these messages will end with either a really heavy last line or a deep, profound last paragraph. And this second teacher's message ended with just this beautiful last paragraph. May I share this with your audience?
You certainly can. I'm sure they're waiting to hear more from you.
So this was the last paragraph of the second teacher's message. You are not as sheep, herded here and there, but you are likened unto the lamb that is cared for individually, nourished and loved until the full and total development allows it to be master of itself. So is man so kept and denied only those things that would not in the long run nourish his spirit. God is all-wise and loving in his dispensations. We are not to judge the workings of our Father, nor are we to judge each other. Work always to improve your own beings, for in the end time, there lies your soul, with all the nourishment that you have given it, totally dependent upon the outcome of your intentions. And that message was signed, Your Loving Spiritual Teacher.
You know, I've been telling everybody about this whole situation going on over the world. It's my own interpretation. Well, I don't know if it's my own, but I feel it was like a comeuppance. Almost like, you know, money has become too important. We need to change it up. You need to start caring about each other. It's not about the money. And I feel that, and I'm an empath. Well, you probably know that already. I'm an empath, and I sit and I watch some of these people with their clothes in a buggy because they just got thrown out of their apartments, or there are these food lines, all of the lines that are out there. Oh my gosh! I mean, it just bothers me. But you know, I can't fix it. It has to be the multitudes. It has to be, you know, everybody's got to work together. And people are caring more about each other only because the money's been taken away. You see what I'm saying? That it's not so easy now. Okay, you were so happy before, making your money, waitressing, bartending, whatever you were doing, and not thinking about these people that you were serving at the bar or at the table. I'm using them as an example.
Sure.
That's what you were thinking about. Now you've got to go beyond that. You must. You just have to. I'm just so strong about that, and I think it was a change up, part of it. I don't think it's all of it, but part of it. And
I agree with you. I think this has given people an opportunity to be a lot more introspective. You know, people, they still have to make a living. They still have to raise their families. They still have their work and their jobs. And this too shall pass. I mean, I believe we're going to go back to normal, and it may even be, you know, forgotten. But as people deal with it on a personal level, they're becoming a lot more introspective, and they realize that maybe all of the emphasis that they put on physical things in this physical plane were not really as important as they thought they were.
So, the energy will shift. It's shifting. People like you, people like me, I have a lady that listens to all my shows. She's another one. And then there's another one. And then Candy in the chat room. People, it's shifting. I really feel it's going to shift. And you're right. We won't be like this forever. No. We won't. And you must believe that. Everybody has to believe that. And just, I always like to think that we're being watched all the time. You can call them your angel, whatever. I don't get messages like you. I get feelings, and I get messages. I'm like, oh, and I don't even know it. Maybe my angels or spirit guides are saying, God, do we have to beat her on the head or what? What is the problem here? You know, I like to laugh about it because, you know, I'm a force to be reckoned with, but my beliefs are strong, and you also believe the same way, that this is a time to change how we feel about the world. I told somebody a few weeks ago, it's like you look at the world, a big round ball, okay, and it's straight up and it's turning real slow. I happen to think the world has shifted over a little bit. It's not perfectly straight up. So that's the energy pulling it away, pulling it the wrong way. So now it's going to change. because the multitudes are thinking. We've got people really digging in and saying, okay, gosh, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? Think about it. I mean, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I don't know. You know, sometimes I think I'm better off than a lot of people that I know.
And Natalie, it's really all about your priorities and your perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
And people will realize what's important, and they will, you know, maybe readjust their priorities and their perspective, their outlook. And, you know, life is a journey.
Right. I have a caller here. I don't know if you want to take a call.
I'd be happy to.
Okay. I don't even know who it is. Usually I'll put them on mute, but I'm not going to do that because I've been seeing them coming on, and I would like to see what they would like to know or what to say, you know, something that they want to share. So let's bring this person in. Hi, this is Natalie. Can I help you? You're live on the air with Michael McAdams.
Hi, first-time caller. Don't know what the procedure is here.
Well, you know, have you been listening to the show?
For a couple of minutes.
Okay, well, you've probably gotten the gist of what Michael and I are talking about, and he'll answer a question if you like. You can ask him about angels, about spirit guides, whatever's on your mind. Please feel free to ask. And what's your first name?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel. Oh, I like it. Nathaniel, this is Michael. Michael, you've got Nathaniel here that would like to talk to you.
Hi, Nathaniel. I've had people ask if I do readings over the phone, and I do not. But do you have a question about the book or your own experience with spirit teachers?
I don't know. No. Have a good day. Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.
Okay. Yeah, oftentimes, you know, it's difficult. You know, at one time we used to do readings on the air. But, you know, Michael, I stopped that because what was happening is we get the same people all the time.
Right.
And it wasn't productive. And then Maya and I decided that we would change it up and do topics. That worked out really well, but you just never know. But anyways, okay, so back to what we were talking about. Yes, I believe things are going to fall into place, as they should. And, you know, people that are listening, and they'll listen to this after because it is recorded, they have to understand that you just have to keep doing what you're doing. Be kind and believe like me. I mean, I believe so much, more than people that I know. I mean, it's just my nature, and I didn't learn it from someone. It's just from within. I mean, I had all the teachings of the nuns and all of that, but I didn't really care for that. I just wanted to learn on my own and read, and I have the Bible here also, was given to me. And I love the feel of the pages in the Bible. Isn't that strange? So there's something to do with feeling for me, I guess. Maybe that's what I need to know is turn the page, and if it feels really good, read it.
It's right? Called a tactile sense.
Is that what it is?
Tactile sense. I've had a number of people who are just really impressed with these messages and teachings and the whole way that Wilma Jean received this information. And I've had people ask, they say, well, do you have this ability? And we all really have the ability to receive. But mm-hmm. I do receive messages. And I was on a publisher's website one time before I signed with the publisher that I'm with now. And they asked a number of questions about your work. One of the questions they asked was, what makes your material unique? Why would anyone want to read this? And I thought that was a really good question. I'd never really thought about it before. And I was sitting where I'm sitting right now at my computer, and an answer to that question started to be dictated to my mind. I didn't really even ask. I just relaxed my mind, and an answer was given. May I share this answer with your audience?
You sure can. You don't even have to ask, Michael. Go ahead, yeah.
Well, I'm polite. I was brought up polite.
I know. You're very
the
nice.
Uniqueness, this is the answer that I was given to the question, what makes your material unique? The uniqueness of any material is in the manner in which it touches the soul. An open and searching mind pulls the soul and the body in which it inhabits onward and upward with hunger and determination in its quest for spiritual nourishment, ever mindful that the path upon which we walk is the path toward God. Lives lived, experiences endured, goals accomplished, and loved ones lost are all encounters upon that path. Strive always for the highest possible communication with our Heavenly Father. Believe in yourself as the Father within you is guiding, leading, directing, and comforting you upon this journey that we call life. Blessings be upon you as you walk your chosen pathway. Now, I was taking dictation. I take no credit for that at all. And when it got done, it just stopped. And I think that I said out loud, "Thank you, Spirit." And that was one of Wilma Jean's favorite expressions. Anytime that she was given information or anything profound or advance notice on anything, she would always say, "Thank you, Spirit." And by showing that appreciation and acknowledgement to our spirit guides and spirit teachers, they appreciate that and they're more apt to share more. And that closeness, that comforting feeling of knowing that we're not alone is really the whole purpose of the book, and that people can realize that they have their own spirit guides and spirit teachers that will share information and guidance, but we're all a product of our choices. And sometimes you make choices that can have, you know, long-lasting effects, and you really just have to work through that and try and come out better on the other end.
That's right. It doesn't mean you made a mistake. You just have to learn from it if it doesn't turn out good for you. And, you know, I was when you were talking, I was thinking about your mom. It must have been a great loss for you.
Well, you know, I still feel like we're working together.
You
but
are,
realizing,
yeah.
But realizing that there really is no death, that it's just graduation, that, I mean, we're going to get to see each other again. This is just temporary. It's just a temporary separation. And life is a continuation. Our existence is a continuation, whether it's on this physical plane. Look at all the different social stations and parents, sets of parents that people can be born to. I mean, look at the children born to Bill Gates and Steven Spielberg. You know, they'll want for nothing.
Right.
I mean, granted, they'll have their challenges, but, you know, money like that and connections make things a lot easier. And then you've got people who are born to alcoholic fathers and drug-addicted mothers.
Right.
You've got, you know, people born in North Korea, communist China, Venezuela. You've got a mother taking her two kids to the market in Iraq, and a suicide bomber blows himself up and takes out 60 people. And the mother either loses the children lose the mother. Now, is there a reason? I mean, I just don't believe that all of this is random. I believe that we are either assigned or we choose to
yes.
live these various lives, born to different sets of parents, different social stations, for what we're supposed to, you know, enable ourselves to overcome and experience
mm-hmm.
whatever it is we're supposed to learn. And if you believe that, if you think about that, then you're open to reincarnation. And it can't, I just don't believe all this is random and that it's just luck of the draw. Did Bill Gates and Steven Spielberg kids win the lottery? Or, you know, are we assigned to a set of parents and
yep.
a social station where we are allowed to overcome and learn? Or possibly because of the way we were in a previous life, we are assigned to a set of parents in a life that's not so cushy, you know, not so pleasurable. And then,
exactly.
you know, then we go to an evaluation period and we'll say, you know, what have you learned, Dorothy?
Right. You click your shoes, your little red shoes. Yeah, exactly.
There's no place like home.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's I listen to you, and then I get these thoughts in my head about, well, I was so much alone when I was a little girl, and I was fine. I mean, I didn't miss a beat. You know, kids would walk by my house; they wouldn't come get me. It wasn't that I was a brat. It wasn't though I wasn't liked. I just, tell you the truth, I was a lot smarter than they were, and they knew it, and they just stayed away from me. But it was okay, because I read, I listened to music, I daydreamed. But, and it wasn't my parents that did this for me either, and Maya always thought I had divine, I had presence with me when I was a little girl. And she told me, and I remember this, I will remember this forever, she said, you know, she said, you should have turned out to be a monster. But you didn't. You went the other way. She said, why do you think? And I said, I didn't know any other way. I mean, no. She said, anybody who was neglected and like you, and I wanted to let you know this because I think you'll understand that she said, no, I think you were just given to your parents just to be born. She said, but you had help along the way. You just didn't know it. You're probably talking to them every day and you didn't know. No, I didn't know. I didn't, except that I liked being alone. But, you know, now I find it more difficult. Not today. I'm fine today. Not, you know, I mean, there have been moments when I've been really, and I get out of that. I want to get out of that because I'm not really alone and I know that I'm not. But, you see, there's people out there listening thinking, oh, I know what she's talking about. I just feel so alone. Like, you don't have to have, and I'm saying these words, even though I don't know how much I believe them, you don't have to have somebody with you all the time. You don't have to be married. You don't have to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend because you're not really alone. Now, I don't know, Michael, how you feel about that, but there have been times when it's really bothered me. I mean, my husband died 8 years ago, but and I don't have anybody in my life, and yet I have this yearning. And I don't know. You know, it's kind of like you say, well, maybe I would like somebody around some of the time. Not all of the time.
Humans are social animals.
Yes,
and
they are.
A lot of people in this work, they wonder why, you know, they have to be alone so much. They can't seem to find anybody. And my motto is, it's better to be with no one than the wrong one. And
exactly.
People who are in this work, they are advancing. They're moving past other people who are so wrapped up in the physical, they don't consider it possible. They're not interested. They don't want to know what's on the other side. They don't want to have any conversations with spirit guides or spirit teachers if they even believe it's possible. And
right.
It's just like driving on the freeway. As you're moving past all of these cars, you're going at a different speed than they are. You know, nobody's any better than anybody else, but it's just you're advancing at a different pace. And the only way that you're going to really find someone is to find someone who's moving forward at the same speed you are.
And the key thing is you can't really find them. You know, people say to me, well, why don't you go and get in these groups? No. You don't understand. I'm not like those people in those groups. So, you know, I'll either be with somebody sometime in my life or I won't. But I just have to stay busy with my work. And I do love what I do. I mean, I've told people this before. I have 3 monitors in front of me. I have a lot that I can do. You know, I keep being nudged to write finish my fairy tale. I have a fairy tale, Michael, that's so sweet. But I just can't seem to get through it, like, you know, but I will when the time is right, and that's how I think of it.
And many people are not allowed to be tied down with someone or meet someone because it would be distracting to their mission. It would impair what they're supposed to learn. So they're kept alone because that, again, allows them to be able to tune in, you know, to whatever it is they're supposed to do.
You'd be sidetracked, and it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good for your own growth. if somebody would come into your life and demand all your attention, mm-hmm. and you couldn't
right.
do the work that you were really meant to do and really love doing. And that happens a lot of times, too. You know that. I mean, it really, really
That's
does.
True. Let me share one more thing here with you, Natalie. On my website, spiritspeaks.com, I offer a set of my own writings called Spiritual Parchment Prints. Two of these I wrote and take credit for. One was dictated to my mind. I actually owned a satellite dish company. I did satellite dishes for a number of years. And I had come home from work, went upstairs to change clothes, and the words greatness and spirit came into my mind. And
mm-hmm.
I knew it was an incoming message. I opened a drawer, pulled out a tablet and a pen, and I just kneeled down, used the bed as a table, and just started taking these words down. And they were coming so fast, I was scribbling to keep up. And had a little trouble the next day when I typed the message up, reading the words as they were given. May I share this with your audience?
Yes. I'm on that page right now, as a matter of fact.
All right. Greatness in Spirit was the title of this one. And this is what was given. Greatness in Spirit shall touch the lives of many whom you will come into contact with. Hearts and lives will be touched and changed by your presence. Enable yourself, by the will of your being, to respect and respond to the changes in individuals as you become aware of the true potential of your spirit. In the eyes of God, thou hast made thyself worthy of all the riches and gifts of spirit that shall be forthcoming unto you. Be as you will in relationship to the Holy Spirit that inhabits and dwells within thy being at this time. Look always to the future with anticipation and gladness, for thou hast made thyself a living receptacle for the Spirit of God, and all good things shall come to thee. Now that's a really
that's
good
beautiful.
Message, personal it message
is.
To receive, but I feel that message applies to all of us who are in this work, that we all have the ability to be messengers, to lead and guide and direct. And as your listeners listen to this program today, if they get the book, they share the messages and teachings with someone else who's just really searching, in need, desperate for comfort, then that has been their fulfillment of what they're supposed to do.
And I will have your book in my Akashic bookstore. I'm going to put that in after we're done here. It's on Amazon, I'm assuming, correct?
The book is the website is spiritspeaks.com. The
right.
book is An Angel Told Me So. And that was Wilma Jean's choice. That was Mother's choice for the title. And I say, but how do you know this to be true? An Angel Told Me So. The
mm-hmm.
book is available on Balboa Press, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, Nook, Amazon.
Okay.
And if on the home page of the website, if they scroll down to the bottom, they'll see the book cover with a 2-paragraph description that I wrote. And below that is a link to the public Facebook page with excerpts from Volumes 2, Volumes 3, and notices of book signings that I do that's posted on that Facebook page.
Yeah, it's very informative. Yeah, spiritspeaks.com. There's everything there. There's links. There's Wilma's TV interview about Michael, about Wilma, and you go back to home. I mean, it's very, you can navigate it very, very well. I thank you so much, Michael, for sharing everything with us today. I really do.
Well, thank you, Natalie. It was my pleasure, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
Well, maybe after your next volume comes out, we will sometime next year. And please send me that info, okay? I'd appreciate that.
I will do that as soon as we get off the air here. And
okay.
when I send you these, you're going to want to print these, because when you're
okay.
holding these messages and teachings in your hand, you really are holding the proof of the existence of a spiritual realm.
And that's exactly what I will do. I will listen to what you want me to do, and I hope everybody enjoyed this, and Candy will put this over on YouTube. I have a channel there, and you can listen to it again and again if you like on blogtalkradio.com/starscast. It'll be there. It doesn't appear right away But it will. I mean, it should be there right now, actually. But anyways, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, I just love this. It was so inspirational. And you're going to love how I close the show. What I always say every single week, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I will say have a great day, everybody. Be safe. Do your 6 feet. Don't go to social stuff. I mean, kind of listen to yourselves a little bit. We all know what we're supposed to be doing. And like Michael says, and I feel, it'll be gone before we know it, and we're going to come out of this better. All of us will come out of this much, much better. And I will see you next week. And I don't even know right now if it's an early show or not. But, you know, I'll have a show again and look for when it's going to be on starpsychics.com. It will be there. You'll know. They'll give all the information. And with that, I will say goodbye. Thank you again, Michael. I love talking to you. We'll do this again.
Thank you very much, Natalie.
Okay, everybody, I'm going to play Free to Love. This is Candy's song. She loves this thing. She loves this. I do, too. You are free to love, you know.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors, so get the chip off the shoulder.
Good day.